Aidan, thank you very much indeed. You're very welcome back to The Late Debate. We are debating same-sex marriage tonight. There had been some speculation that the Cabinet was going to give the go-ahead today for a referendum on the issue, but in the end, the Taoiseach Enda Kenny said it would be next week before a decision was made. And of course, that gave rise to speculation that all was not well in the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party, that there may be more opposition in the ranks than previously thought. Giving marriage rights to same-sex couples is Labour's baby. Eamon Gilmore has promised a referendum on it, and when he addressed the International Gay and Lesbian Association in Dublin last year, he said it was the civil rights issue of this generation.
The right of same-sex couples to marry is not a gay rights issue. It's a civil rights issue, and one that I support. It is not a question of other values being imposed from the outside. Rather, to believe in human rights is to believe in the equality of our fellow human beings, whatever their culture, their creed, the colour of their skin, their sexual orientation, or their gender identity. To deny equality is to look another in the eye and proclaim them to be a lesser person. It is to distinguish between the quality of one person's humanity over another. The case for human rights is not a radical one. It is simply the logical conclusion of that fundamental belief, a belief that transcends national boundaries and narrow national interests. I was struck recently by the words of Irish hurling star Donal Óg Cusack at a recent Pride event in Derry. What unites us at the end of the day is pride in being who we are, pride in the totality of who we are as a people, pride in the fact that we refuse just to fit the label hung on us by prejudice. These fine words could be said to sum up the essence of human rights work. It is prejudice that too often leads to violations of human rights, to discrimination, poverty, and to conflict.
I was astonished that Eamon Gilmore speaking at the International Gay and Lesbian Association's European Conference in Dublin last year. But of course, there are people who believe that same-sex marriage should not be allowed. Here's a commercial released late last year by the religious organisation the Iona Institute and promoted by the American National Organisation for Marriage.
When a man and a woman fall in love, they can get married, right? So why can't two men or two women who love each other get married as well? Isn't it discrimination to stop them?
Except, it's not discrimination to treat different situations in different ways.
Everyone in caring, dependent relationships deserves legal protection.
But the relationship of a man and a woman is unique.
Only a man and a woman can make new life. Only a man and a woman can give a child a mum and a dad.
No two men and no two women can ever do this. So it makes sense to treat something unique in a unique way. That's not discrimination.
Marriage is a private promise between two people, but it has a big public purpose as well.
That purpose is unique and important, to give children the love of their mum and dad in one family.
Of course, not all married couples have children, but every child ever born has a mum and a dad.
Marriage between a man and a woman recognises this basic fact, and that's why marriage is our most important social institution.
It's our way of saying that the differences between men and women matter. That the differences between mothers and fathers matter, and that kids have a right to what they long for, a loving mum and dad.
So let's not change the message of marriage by redefining it. For the sake of our children.
And that was a commercial released late last year by the religious organisation, the Iona Institute. Well, I'm joined in studio tonight for this debate by Labour TD John Lyons, the chairperson of the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network, Kieran Rose, occupational psychologist, Gerry Fahey. And from our Limerick studio tonight, we're joined by Dr. Niamh Harrigan, senior sociology lecturer at UCC. You're all very welcome indeed.
Thank you.
John Lyons, what do you think when you hear that commercial there?
To be quite honest, I genuinely find it a little bit frustrating, particularly because I don't see the same points of views that are being put forward by the Iona Institute advertisement, saying that marriage is particularly is a unique situation between a man and a woman because mainly it involves children. And we all know that there are many families in Ireland today whereby they're a gay and lesbian couples, where they're headed by their families, are there are loving children in that relationship that are headed by parents of the same sex. And I think it's very dismissive of the type of diverse society that we have in Ireland today. And if I was to be very honest and be a human being rather than a political representative here tonight, I find it a little bit insulting, to be quite honest.
Gerry Fahey, is this not a no-brainer at this point where we are in Irish society in 2013, equality for all?
No, it's not a no-brainer. I refer you back to the comments of Eamon Gilmore when he talked about it being a civil rights issue and a human rights issue. And I would agree with that. It involves the civil and human rights of gay and lesbian couples. It also involves the civil and human rights of children. And my perspective on this is very much the perspective of children. And I would argue very strongly that all the political parties have been very deficient in addressing the civil and human rights issues of gay and lesbian couples. And if you like, I'll expand a little on that. The 2010 Civil Partnership Act was introduced to give some legal recognition to gay and lesbian couples. And in my view, I would agree with marriage equality that it's very deficient in that regard. Marriage equality maintains that there are 170 aspects of that which discriminate against gay and lesbian couples. I would agree with that to some extent, possibly to the extent of 169 of the 170. And I'm critical of all members of all political parties for not addressing that issue. The one issue that I would have a concern about is the definition or the interpretation of what family is in the Constitution. Why? Because it impacts on children.
So do you believe gay and lesbians should not be allowed to get married?
Yes, I...
you believe that? I believe that same-sex marriage.
From the perspective of children, if you argue the debate around that issue. And bear in mind, I'm here as an adult. John and Kieran are here as adults. But a large percentage of our population are children under the age of 18. They have no say in the matter. They're not represented by anyone in the matter. Politicians don't represent them simply because of the nature of the political system in this country, in that children don't have a voice. And there are no votes for politicians in dealing with children's issues. And that has been a problem in the state since the history of the state.
But specifically in relation to same-sex marriage, what is your argument about how it impacts on children?
If you change the definition or the interpretation of marriage that the Supreme Court have come up with and put in a clause into the Constitution that two gay men are married or are allowed to marry in a constitutional sense and have children, you automatically break the biological link between children and their parents. And there are more and more cases ending up in the family courts where there are disputes about custody and access. And there should always be a balancing in those cases, the best interest of the child, the weight given to the biological link. Once you allow two gay men to be constitutionally married, that link is broken. And a parent, be it a father or a mother, can be airbrushed out of the life of their biological child.
Okay, Kieran,
that's my fundamental concern.
Objection. Yeah, okay. Kieran Rose from GLEN, the Gay Lesbian Equality Network. How do you answer that point from Gerry?
Well, I suppose first of all, I don't really fully understand the point, because one of the reasons why we want to bring in civil marriage is actually to give greater protection, to give constitutional protection to children who are being currently being raised in lesbian or gay families. Even currently, where people are in a civil partnership, for example, the children that are being parented by the lesbian couple or the gay couple have no legal protections. And legislation can be brought in terms of guardianship and so on, and that's very important in Minister Alan Shatter has given commitments in that regard. But one of the reasons that we are arguing for civil marriage is that it gives constitutional status and protection to lesbian couples in a legal relationship, and hence their children, the children that they are parenting, mm-hmm. are given constitutional status and protection.
What about Jerry's point about this breaking this biological link?
I don't really understand that either. I mean, we are totally in favour of the principle of the best interests of the child, and the biological link. I mean, we're living in a society where people are going into second relationships, where they're very complex relationships. It's not any longer, if it ever was, like a mother and a father and kids, and living together happily for the rest of their lives.
And Jerry, you're in that position yourself. I mean, you're in a second relationship, have had a child in a second relationship, and you make the point that it's about effective parenting.
It's all about
that applies to same-sex marriage too.
Parenting, and given that you've raised my... can I just make a point firstly in response to Kieran? Mm. I should point out to him that the issue being debated here tonight doesn't deal with the children of single parents. Is there a concern about the children of single parents? I'm asking that question rhetorically. I would say no, because Article 41 is very clear of the Constitution. 40, Section 1, all citizens shall, as human beings, be held equal before the law. That applies to all children, whether they are children from a gay and lesbian relationship, single parents, or the intact biological family. The Constitution is absolutely adamant on that.
You disagree, Kieran?
Totally.
They
don't have, because one of the critical things about marriage in the Constitution is that it has a constitutional status and it has constitutional protections, and you can go to the High Court and you can go to the Supreme Court to have those statuses or protections defended and vindicated. So a child of a married couple, and currently it's only a heterosexual married couple, can enforce those his or her constitutional rights and privileges. Currently, children being parented by a lesbian couple or a gay couple don't have those similar protections. As I was saying, the Minister Alan Shatter is going to introduce a very comprehensive piece of and much needed children's reform legislation, and that will sort out a lot of the issues there in terms of parenting and guardianship, not just for lesbians and gay men, but for the whole complexity of our society today, of grandparents and so on.
Okay, that's neat. I'll bring you in a moment. Just let Jerry finish his point here.
That's the point I was making at the outset, that you deal with a lot of these issues through legislation. But I'd also remind Kieran that there was a major debate around the issue of children's rights under the recent referendum on that.
Okay. And Niamh Horrigan,
children's issues were dealt with adequately.
What's your view on this?
Well, I mean, to start, actually, I would take issue with the idea that children aren't represented now. I mean, we have an ombudsman for children. We have a government rapporteur on children. I mean, there are people at the moment who are out there looking out for children's rights and listening to children's voices. I think the bigger issue to look at now, because, I mean, the whole question of gay marriage and civil partnership has been on the table for a number of years. And really, I think the key question is, will it be dealt with now, given that we already have a civil partnership in place since 2010, 2011. And it's interesting to look at the political context here and say why maybe there might be some reluctance to tackle it, I suppose, from a sociological point of view. And I suppose that's because essentially, you know, marriage in Ireland has been strongly interwoven with economic relationships, and Irish identity has been strongly interwoven with Catholicism. And these, I suppose, I think are factors which, you know, come into play when you put marriage up for discussion in this particular way. I think there's a broader issue, though, actually, in relation to children, which has been flagged in terms of research and education, and that we have a significant problem in Ireland, particularly for children and adolescents, with homophobic bullying. And I suppose this is an issue, I think, that which needs to be part of the debate, is that there are many children, you know, who are under 18 who are themselves gay. And you know, that in a sense, if we are going to create a scenario whereby same-sex marriage is legalised, and I, for one, would support that, I do think a considerable amount of work needs to be done in tackling that kind of homophobia, which could potentially impact on kids growing up and who are growing up right now in those kind of circumstances. And it's interesting, if we look at the kind of public education work that's been done in schools, it's been, you know, much more successful and more targeted in many ways on the issues that face girls, and has been perhaps less successful in terms of tackling the issues, particularly that face adolescent boys. And I think that is going to, that the challenges raised by that will become more acute as we move into a scenario where, even if same-sex marriage isn't legalised, I think we are going to see more and more children growing up in civil partnerships with parents who are of the same sex. Mm.
Jerry.
Could I respond there from a personal point of view? I have three children. Two of them are children of a marriage. I'm divorced from my first wife. My third child is the product of a cohabiting relationship. I see, from the children's perspective, my own children's perspective, absolutely no difference between the three children in terms of their civil rights, their opportunities within the society that we live in. So it's a moot point from my perspective personally. From the perspective of the research in terms of outcomes, I think there are concerns if you look at general trends. In general, the children from the intact biological family do much better than the children from single-parent families or from reconstitution.
In fairness, Audrey, I think we have to be very careful in citing research here, because there are many research bodies who would actually challenge precisely that view, including the American Sociological Association have come out and listed a whole range of studies in which, in their view, would seem to indicate that children reared in same-sex arrangements do not suffer significantly compared to children in heterosexual marriages. So we need to be extremely nuanced in citing research in this context.
Can I respond to that?
Briefly, John.
The American Psychological Association has come out and made the same point. I'm a member of the American Psychological Association. I'm trained in research methodologies. I know the research. There isn't a single piece of research that supports what Niamh has said.
That's absolutely untrue.
That issue was debated.
For people who are listening to this debate, I suggest you look at a piece that was published in Village magazine last year, which went through, actually, in detail, the various pieces of research that have been conducted on this and listed them. And actually, indeed, Jerry, particularly cited that 2005 article by the American Psychological Association and looked at the author and looked at the way in which that article has been used. So I think we do need to be extremely nuanced and careful in the way in which research is cited in this debate.
I'll come back to Jerry, but I want to bring John in at this point because he hasn't been in for a while. John.
Just to concur with what Niamh is saying there, I mean, I'm a member of the Constitutional Convention, and back in April 2014 of this year, we had a two-day very healthy discussion around the whole issue of same-sex marriage, and I was delighted to see that almost 80% of people voted in favour of a constitutional change in favour of same-sex or civil marriage for same-sex couples. But can I just say, in relation to two of the documents that were cited there as reasons from people on the no side, one of the pieces of research, which is in relation to what Niamh said, is that the Child Trends report, which actually the authors of the Child Trends report wrote to the Constitutional Convention to say that to remind us that although the people opposing using this as an opponent to same-sex marriage says that there is a disclaimer on the front of this particular piece of research which says that this cannot be used to state any evidence in relation to how children grow up in same-sex marriages. And just another piece which is often purported by the particular group that Jerry represents here tonight, is it the Iona Institute?
That's nothing to do.
Okay, no, you happen to be in. Oh, sorry, I thought you're in the audience tonight that I was on prime time. I assumed you were part of that group. If you're not,
absolutely,
I genuinely apologise. But the other piece of research, the other piece of research as well that is often cited here is the Regenerist report, and again, that cannot be used, and it says that you cannot use that in relation to same-sex couples. But can I cite one piece of research that was carried out this year by Cambridge University, which basically says that in the case of gay male couples and children growing up in gay male families, headed by gay male families, that they are as likely to grow up as healthy and if not better than traditional heterosexual families. So what I'm saying here is that, you know, it's all well and good, you know, for some people to come in here and say some of the things that they do say. And I do respect that people have different points of view. But the reality is here that, you know, the question I'm asking underneath all of this is, what is it that people have against extending an institution that everybody in Irish society pretty much values so much, and that is marriage? And how does that lessen that institution by extending it to more people? Does it not strengthen that institution?
Jerry Fahey.
Could I deal with the research issue?
Briefly, because I am very conscious that, you know, on issues like this, both sides put out their research and it's very difficult to verify and it's very difficult to stand over. So I don't want to dwell too much time on it, but make your point
quickly, if you could, Jerry. I have to say that's incorrect. All the studies that John and Niamh have referred to have sample sizes of 30 or 40. Mm. You cannot have a statistically representative sample of that size. In addition to that, they're all what are called convenience and snowball samples. They're not representative.
But does it not, Jerry, come back to your point of effective parenting, regardless of gender?
It's a much more complex than that. Fathers and mothers have a role to play. Can I reverse it and address this question to Niamh? Does Niamh believe that in the case of a couple, a gay couple, that are raising a child, that child doesn't need a mother? Or in the case of a lesbian couple raising a child, that child doesn't need a father?
I think, Jerry, in fairness, no, I will, and I think it's a very good question. My own view would be, having done a lot of work with very disadvantaged children who are in many cases lack either support from either parent, is that a child being raised by a same-sex couple, be it men or women, needs parents. And to be quite honest, a child living in Ireland right now, and if we look at the relationship, the statistics on both marriage and cohabiting relationship breakdown, any child right now who's got two parents and two loving parents who are living in reasonable happiness in the same home is doing very well, and doing well much better than many of their peers. And therefore, I think we have to be very careful here that, you know, if we look at many of children who are growing up in single parent households, in many cases where they have very little access to a mother or a father, or that parent has very little role in their lives, and nevertheless those children do manage to grow up and do manage to survive that scenario. So to say that somehow a child cannot emerge from a same-sex cohabiting relationship or a marriage relationship and not be a rounded human being, I don't think is sustainable.
That's not what I'm saying, and you haven't addressed the question that I put to you.
Well, I think I have, Jerry.
Does a child who's been raised by two gay parents need a mother, or does a child that has been raised by two lesbian parents need a father?
I think she has. I just want to bring in Kieran Rose at this point. Kieran and Craig Dwyer in a tweet has said, you know, once again, a debate on same-sex marriage focusing singly on children. It highlights how we need to address this prior to any referendum. And I'm very conscious that, you know, many people get married and don't have children. Marriage is not about children.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's perfectly true. And just as maybe to finish off on the children's issue, that was considered by the expert colleague group appointed by the government, and they came out in favour of the parenting by lesbian and gay couples was as good as, and that's all you need, that's the standard, as parenting by other couples. But to go back to the issue of marriage, and Nia raised the very good point of how importantly marriage is held in Irish society. I think it's very interesting if you look at the civil partnerships which are being held throughout the country, you know, every single day, every single weekend. And the Irish people are treating them basically as weddings. And it's an important thing to say that the Oireachtas has decided that it wants, the previous Oireachtas, the last government and the last opposition, decided that they wanted to give as many rights and responsibilities to lesbian and gay couples as they thought was possible within the constitutional constraints. So what we have now in civil partnership is actually marriage-like civil partnership. It is equal in a whole range of areas such as citizenship, immigration, tax, social welfare, all those kind of areas. But throughout the country, small towns, rural areas, Dublin, Cork, wherever, the friends, the family and the community that lesbian and gay couples live in, when they have their civil partnerships, they are treated the same as a heterosexual getting married. And I think that's a very important thing to say, that I think that okay. The people have spoken in that regard, and what they want is they want to move to civil marriage as soon as possible. And in that sense, I don't think the politicians and the political parties and our elected representatives, they're in step with that clearly expressed opinion every single day of the week.
Just so that I don't give Jerry, a wrong perception, I have a friend who's gay who's entering into a civil partnership this week. He's only invited, he and his partner have only invited family members to it. I'm delighted for him. I make that point because the danger is when somebody takes the position that I take, you can be stereotyped and be accused of being homophobic. Now, I know people here tonight won't do that, but that's an important point, and we should have healthy dialogue, free discussion with all sides allowed to make their views known.
Somebody has tweeted to you, Gerry, you know, that it's a little strange that marriage equality debates seem to be taking place in some thought experiment where gay couples aren't already raising children. I mean, it's a reality.
As single parents raise children, that's not the issue. The issue, if you go back to what I said at the outset, this is the fundamental issue that this problem raises, the fact that the biological link between child and parent will be broken. And with demographic trends, we will see an increase in divorce rates in Ireland. We will see more cases going into the family courts because not all civil partnerships will last forever. You know, I'm divorced. Mm-hmm. So it's a fundamental issue dealing with the rights of children and the link between child and parent. Don't forget that the government has on the cards a piece of legislation called the Children and Parental Responsibility Act. And that legislation gives equal parental responsibility rights to step-parents as well as biological parents. And you can see the scenario from the point of view of consequences, whether they're intended or unintended, where the biological parent, be it a mother or a father, could be airbrushed out of their child's life.
Audrey,
that's my fundamental concern.
I think,
concern.
In fairness, I'm always interested to hear the opposing argument in many ways in terms of this issue. But it's interesting for me to look at, I suppose, the intensity of the desire for marriage amongst the LGBT movement. And I'm often struck by it, having, I suppose, certainly been educated through a period where, you know, within feminism, there's been such a strong critique of marriage, and so many feminist organisations and have viewed marriage through a very critical lens and viewed it as quite oppressive. And certainly one of the things that we see, even from the point of view of people who are on the opposing side, have constantly highlighted the rise in cohabiting relationships and the kind of instability that can, you know, there's greater levels of instability statistically in cohabiting relationships. And to me then, I think the desire for a same-sex union that is sanctioned through the prism of marriage. And I think Kieran put it very well there, because, you know, it's interesting to see not only are we seeing a desire for same-sex unions to be legalised, but also within the churches we're seeing a demand for it to be spiritualised. And we're seeing some of that in some of the churches, Christian churches internationally. And I think that's something which in many ways, if we do accept this link that somehow permanence in relationships is good both for people and for children who may be in that, then I think it is something to be welcomed in many ways.
It's an interesting point, Kieran, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I think that it's what we're in a stage now, I think, is that we're at the last stage of a 20-year movement in Ireland. It's amazing if you think in 20 years ago, gay men were still criminalised in this country. After that, we got equality legislation in the late 90s. We got, as I was saying, marriage-like civil partnership legislation in 2010. There's been a kind of a radical transformation, I would think, in the social landscape throughout the country in terms of people's approach to lesbian and gay relationships. And now we have the last small, legal, but huge step towards full constitutional equality. And I would say that there is a yearning from lesbians and gay men for marriage, for that full acceptance as equal Irish citizens. And maybe it's slightly poetic, but I mean, it's totally appropriate that as we approach the 100th anniversary of the declaration of an Irish Democratic Republic, that we would finally sort out this issue of equal citizenship.
Is that what it's about, John, the symbolism of acceptance? Because as Niamh was questioning there, you know, it's interesting to ask why gay people want to have this symbolic approval of marriage.
Well, I think it's about sameness, but at the same time reflecting diversity, but having, you know, all inequalities quashed out of our system. And the reality is marriage is one of the only institutions at this stage, I think, or possibly the last institution within Irish society where inequality still prevails. And anybody other than heterosexual people are basically not entitled to that particular right. I genuinely believe, and in fact, I think it was only at the Constitutional Convention that I actually had a penny-dropping moment and understood what a republic means. And as you said, Kieran, we're approaching the 100th anniversary of our 1916 rising. And, you know, I think back then even, you know, to maybe kind of keep on with that historic tone, you know, the type of society that was being visioned back then, you know, was one where diversity and every single person could reach their full potential and would be treated equally. And in order to achieve that status, we need to address that. But can I just stay and finish on this particular point? The reality is, whether we like it or not, whether we're opposed to same-sex marriage or not, there is legislation coming down the line through the Family and Relationships and Children's Bill, where the heads of that bill will come forward before the Oireachtas Committee on Justice quite soon. And that will set in motion the issues that, first of all, some people are concerned around to do with the children aspect. And then the reality after that is that there will be a constitutional referendum on same-sex marriage. And the reality on top of that is as well, there is an overwhelming majority of people, in my opinion, everybody who goes to a civil partnership. I was at my first one there recently, where two friends of mine who've been going out with each other for 12 years tied the knot. And in everything but legal entitlement, it was a marriage. Mm-hmm. It was a marriage in love. It was a marriage in experience. It was a marriage in a social event. And it'll be a marriage in the life that they will live. And to deprive anybody of that opportunity purely because of their sexuality is not the type of society that I want to represent, promote or live in. And I believe the majority of people in Ireland feel that way too.
Gerry, does any of that move you?
Oh, absolutely. And I would agree wholeheartedly with John. Within the context of 169 of the 170 deficiencies that gay and lesbian couples have to deal with, I've no problem. I agree with his sentiments. I like to think that this is a republic, in the same way I, as a parent of children from a marriage and children from a cohabiting relationship, I'm delighted that within this country, this republic, my three children are treated equally and treated very well. I've no complaints to make about that. But I do have a fundamental problem. Because of my training and background and my experience and my knowledge of the research, the crucial importance of the biological link between parent and child, it is not happenstance that nature evolved in such a way that a child is produced by the combination sexually, through sexual intercourse, of a man and a woman. Both bring something to the party in the sense of creating a children, a sperm and an egg. Mm. And I'm not happy with Niamh's response And I'd like Kieran and John to respond.
Someone
to
is
me
asking
as well.
You, what about adopted children, about the biological link being broken there too, and would you oppose adoption?
Absolutely not. I'm not opposed to gay adoption either. Adoption happens because of unhappy circumstances. Children are available for adoption for whatever reason. And all the research shows that of all parent types, adoptive parents perform best as parents. And even if you factor in differences of income and education, adoptive parents are on a par with the entire biological
parents. But I think in fairness, Gerry, you've made the key point there, is that you're saying, well, you know, children are available for adoption because of unhappy circumstances. And that goes to the very core of what marriage provides for children. Do you know what I mean? It is happy circumstances. And that seems to be the core issue. And I think it's very important, and I think it'll be particularly important if this issue does go to referendum, that we look at countries with kind of comparable cultural backgrounds and interests, say, for instance, like Spain, who've brought the same-sex marriage issue, successfully through and have dealt with this issue and have looked at children's rights and dealt with it. And the sky hasn't come falling down. I have to say, Audrey, I have some concerns in terms of this issue going to referendum. And I know this is being discussed in the political milieu at the moment, because we have seen in recent months and in recent years, low turnouts in referendums. And, you know, we do tend to see statistically higher turnout in older age groups and in voters in rural constituencies. And those tend to be statistically the groups where there's higher levels of opposition to this particular issue. And we also see, particularly in more marginalised areas, a kind of almost a very strong tendency to vote against any referendums being proposed by the state at the moment. There is a lot of anger, I think, brewing in a broader context. And for both of those reasons, while I'd like to see this go to referendum, I'd be fearful about what that debate might play out.
Niamh, I wouldn't be concerned on that issue, because if you look at the two recent referendums, the government was defeated on one, and the second referendum concerning the Courts of Appeal was passed by a majority of 2-1. And if you look at the referendum that had to deal with judges' pay,
yes, but Gerry, if you look at the referendum on children's rights, I think that's perhaps a more interesting one to look at in terms of comparable turnout, and in terms of, I think in many in government circles, we're actually surprised by the level of opposition and no vote to that referendum in certain constituencies.
Well, the constituency that had the highest no vote was Dublin West, and if you compare that to Dublin South East, which had the highest majority in favour, you could arrive at the conclusion that that reflects the socioeconomic background of people in those constituencies. That people in Dublin West had more exposure to the family courts and are at the receiving end, or were at the receiving end.
Okay, that may indeed be the case, Ger.
Okay, Kieran.
I take Niamh's point that referendums are tricky matters. Recently and previously, we've all seen referendums that thought that the opinion polls said they were going to do well, and it didn't turn out. But I'm quite confident that this referendum for equal citizenship, basically, is winnable, and that we can convince the majority of Irish people to vote in favour of that. Just going back to the point, really, I suppose, of the social transformation that has taken place in Ireland in 20 years and how that has accelerated in the past number of years since the introduction of civil partnership. And as John referred to, the people have spoken, in a sense. The court of public opinion has spoken. They've said these are weddings. They regard them as marriages. They've said it in the local newspapers. And just slightly to disagree with Niamh, I think rural areas are very progressive on this issue. And you can see that from the evidence of local newspapers, where West Clare or whatever, they're delighted, they're trumpeting the fact that they've had their first civil partnership in the local hotel. And as a person who's kind of nearing being older myself, I think that
I think
older people can be very, very progressive. And of course, Cork people are the ultimate progressives.
Indeed.
Could I just add one little thing, I suppose, really, because I think in a sense this is a matter of generosity, and we are a minority, and what we are in a sense is appealing to is a sense of generosity in the majority of people, and we've done that before and we've made progress. And I'd just like to give you a quick quote from Minister Kieran Cannon over the weekend. And I think this kind of exemplifies an awful lot of things we're trying to say. And he said, "Today I'm celebrating the joy of being married to my best friend for 23 years. And this is the clincher now. That unique joy shouldn't be denied to anyone in Irish society." And he's not unusual in thinking that. I think the vast majority of Irish people think like that. I think it's represented in opinion polls, but not just in opinion polls. I think that's a really deep belief amongst the Irish people on a lot of issues of fairness and justice.
John.
Yeah, just on that social transformation that Kieran spoke about, I mean, it's my gut feeling and, you know, just from walking about the place, meeting with people, talking to people, listening to people, that society is ahead of the legislature on this one. It's absolutely miles ahead of us. They have moved on. They are paving the way for what the legislation will actually bring into an act, and hopefully referendum will then reinforce constitutionally. And I just want to say that it's the Irish people themselves in their way of life, the life that they're leading and the examples that they're setting, you know, and the warming that they're giving to these new situations that are being embraced absolutely through all ends of the country. They're leading the way, and I do think that they will be generous to, as you says, the minority that we are, Kieran, on the day when the day comes.
Kieran, do gay and lesbian people, though, still face homophobia? Are there still homophobic attacks? Are there still issues there?
There's two tales, basically. Huge progress has been made for an awful lot of young people. They're coming out much younger and stuff like that, and they're getting on in schools. But there is another story. There's a story of discrimination, of homophobic violence, of exclusion, bullying in schools, as you've mentioned, people having very difficult experiences at work. And I suppose what I've often said is that what we want to approach is a society where it will be unremarkable to be lesbian or gay. So if the child comes home at whatever age and says, "I think I'm gay" or "I think I'm lesbian," the parents are open to that.
Or they just bring their boyfriend or girlfriend home and say, "Here they are."
Yes,
you know?
Or they're found
no
on the couch or whatever.
Audrey, could I? And
just to finish it with one particular one. And I think it's like the acid test of that unremarkability, and it's denied to us currently. Lesbians and gay men, in a sense, don't have freedom of movement in this society, and heterosexuals can express ordinary affections in public. They can give each other a peck on the cheek as they leave, or come together, or whatever, or hold hands walking down the street. That still isn't possible for gay people in Ireland. It's happening a little bit in Dublin. I see it coming along, but again, we won't have reached full equality until those ordinary demonstrations of affection in public are seen as unremarkable. And could I just finish on one little particular thing? Jerry was calling for a civilised debate, or a debate around civility. And I think that's hugely important. And I think that is a debate we're having here tonight, because I think in the referendum, the worst thing that could happen is that if you had a divisive debate and a bitter debate, and that would send set back social cohesion in Ireland and would set back social progress. So I think that it is really critical that we engage, as we are tonight, in a civil debate.
Jerry.
I would totally endorse what Kieran says, and I would go along with him on everything he says. There, homophobia is still a problem in the country. The coming out of young children who are gay is a problem. All of those issues, I 100% am behind him. But I have a fundamental problem with gay marriage, which I've articulated, and it revolves around the issue of the link between child and biological parent. And go back to what I said at the outset. I criticise all our politicians and political parties for not addressing the shortcomings of the 2010 Act. Mm-hmm. I can't understand why that wasn't done. I have a view to some extent that maybe there's an ideological drive behind, and I'm not including Kieran and John when I say this, that there is a small group in society who have an issue around the connection between child and biological parent, whether it's mother or father. And I believe if you look at some of the people who speak on this issue, I believe that's the agenda. I wouldn't make that accusation either at John or Kieran here tonight, or indeed Niamh. Mm-hmm. And we have had a good, honest discussion. It hasn't been personalised. Mm-hmm. But the view that I'm putting forward is a view that's child-centred. Mm-hmm. And I would stand up in front of anyone and make that point. I was accused of being homophobic on a blog on the Irish Times after a programme that I appeared on recently, and I found it hurtful and insulting. I do think gay and lesbian couples are not treated the way I would like to see them treated in this country.
Well, we've 12 minutes left.
Yeah. With the exception of a change to the Constitution as to what a marriage is. And I would again raise the question to both Kieran and John. In the case of a gay couple who are raising a child, does that child need a mother? Or in the case of a lesbian couple, does that child need a father?
OK, Kieran, do you want to address that?
Yeah, well, I think what a child needs is two caring parents, two responsible parents, and I think they also need grandparents. And ideally they need uncles and aunts and cousins, and that's what's that phrase about it takes a village to raise a child. And just to go back to Jerry, when you made the point that you said you're prioritising the child in this matter, well, we can agree on everything, so Jerry, because that is our position. Mm-hmm. And the only thing we disagree with is how that can be affected.
Without being argumentative, what weight would you give to the biological link between child and parent?
I think it's very important. I think it's very important. And I think that, as everybody knows, a step-parent can be of huge importance in a child's upbringing. An uncle or an aunt can be. It's not either or, you know. Like there's no perfect model.
Okay, but then if you accept the relevance and that some weighting should be given to the biological link, why can you not recognise my concern? And where there are competing interests, address the shortcomings in the 2010 Act and leave the constitutional interpretation of the family as is. Because if you look at, and the comparisons are made between the States, the UK and France with respect to legalising gay marriage, it's been done in France, I think it's been done in the UK, it's been done in an increasing number of states in the US. There's a fundamental difference between those three countries and Ireland. There's no constitution in Britain. In the American and French constitution, there's no clause or article dealing with the family. There is in Ireland. Yeah. So if there's a custody and access dispute, as there was in Britain in 2006 that went to the Law Lords, where there was a dispute between two lesbian parents, the biological parent and the partner, and the Law Lords, it went to the Law Lords because the children, custody and access was given to the non-biological parent. The Law Lords overturned that.
Okay.
If you change the constitutional definition in Ireland, that can't happen.
John, do you want to address that?
Jerry, you just mentioned there, just to pull back on one of the things was, you know, you to use a quote of yours, the interpretation of the family. And I think Irish society is trying to say that it's time to look at you know, that there is a stronger growing view that there is a need for a different interpretation constitutionally of what family means.
I would agree, Audrey, I think we need to be careful in terms of looking at the Constitution. I mean, we've been through a whole period of reform via referenda, which really positions the Constitution as a living document that has, you know, if you have a Constitution, it can't remain static in 1937, reflecting in, you know, visions of, for instance, as John was saying, what the family was then. It has to change and grow, and we've seen that happen throughout the last 20 years, and in a sense it can't stop now. And also I think it's important to return to Kieran's point. If in a sense I think this does go to referenda, I mean, I think there is a danger that a very divisive debate could actually exacerbate or could make some of the tensions worse, and I think that's something that the political system and the various groups involved with this would need to be very sensitive to in kind of positioning and thinking about how they're going to approach this in terms of, you know, public information, etc.
Well, Niamh, I would compliment the four of us here tonight because we've had a very good, honest and open debate. It wasn't personalised, there was no anger.
Well, there's 7 minutes left, Gerry, there's still time.
In fairness, Audrey,
I thoroughly agree with Gerry on that matter.
I think the people who are most in danger actually of getting stigmatised now are those who are single and who have nobody to love and who will continue to be stigmatised by people on all sides of the house.
John, Niamh, it's on the tip of my tongue to make a remark about that, but I won't.
Niamh, I'm single too, just for the record.
Exactly. And Padder has texted us to say, of course gay people should be allowed to marry. Why should they escape all the misery? But Brendan Conroy has a question. And John, I'll put this to you. He says, I've never heard a supporter of gay marriage, including tonight, explain why a yet-to-be-born child's right to be parented by their own biological mother or father is trumped by an adult's desire to institutionalise a relationship which excludes that possibility. From a child's point of view, that is not equality. It's an adult-centred injustice.
It's a very long text in. So how do I answer that one so quickly in the time that we have? To be quite honest with you, you know, what's being asked of is really to recognise what exists already in Irish society, is that society has become so diverse, and thankfully it has, in my opinion. And we do have real families in real situations where young children or children are being headed by gay and lesbian couples. And that is fact. And, you know, as Niamh says there, you know, our constitution should be seen as a living document, and it should reflect the values that exist in society and are projecting forward. And I think that's what the drive is around this. I mean, of course, you know, children are at the centre of all of this, but I don't want to keep bringing the issue back to children. This is an issue of inequality, and that's my drive and passion for this particular issue. The fact is, because of my sexuality and the sexuality of other gay and lesbian people, we believe that one institution, which everybody in society, as I said earlier on, values so much, we are being discriminated because of our sexuality. And in the type of society that we live in, I don't think that is acceptable. And the reality is, there are many people, as we said, who do get married, who never have children, and others will, you know. And I think that's where the drive for this is. But we can either pretend that we don't have a diverse society and that we don't have gay and lesbian couples with loving families that they are rearing, and rearing fantastically as well as anybody else. Or we can decide to say, yes, we do, and we need to recognise these people and ensure that they have the same rights and values and feel part of our society in the same way as anybody else, and they're not stigmatised because of their sexuality.
Gerry.
But that can be achieved by amending the 2010 legislation and protecting the rights of children that emanate from the Constitution. When I refer to the interpretation of family in the Constitution, I'm being legally correct. I agree with the interpretation of the Constitution, and it reflects what evolution has brought about in terms of man and woman coming together, procreating a child with an egg and a sperm. That's unique to a heterosexual couple. A homosexual couple cannot conceive a child in the same manner.
Just to go back to the point again, you know, that the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network, John, and all of the lesbian and gay organisations and all the people who are supporting the move towards civil marriage certainly and definitely are totally supportive of the rights of the child. And like, there can be no doubt about that. We can discuss what that means in practice, and we will have an opportunity to do that, I suppose, when Minister Alan Shatter publishes the heads of the bill or the full bill. And it like what the main issue, there's a whole issue about the rights of the child, and that's a hugely important area in our society. And as Niamh mentioned earlier on, like, we have the Children's Ombudsman and a whole range of measures to vindicate the rights of the child. But there is a separate issue over here, which is the one about the right to marry, and that every single person in our society should have that right available to them. That's the current debate, really, and we're going to be moving to a referendum sooner rather than later. And I really hope that that we do pass the referendum, and that we have a nice end to 20 or 21 years of really strong progress in Irish society for a minority. And could I say just, I suppose, one other thing is that we've always said that that the progress made for lesbians and gay men in Irish society is progress for all of Irish society. Because if as a society you open yourself out to a particular minority, if you understand the position that they're in, if you take maybe what you think is a difficult step, or if you find it challenging and you finally agree to it, that strengthens society, and it opens out the possibility of taking on of making progress in other related areas of human rights, of civil rights, of equality, in pick anyone in terms of people with disabilities or whatever, or the rights of the child.
John, are you worried about Fine Gael?
I'm not. I'm actually. How long have we got? I'm not, to be honest with you. I believe that the commitment that was given within the programme for government to, you know, look at the issue of same-sex marriage and have a referendum on same-sex marriage will be delivered upon.
Why did ENDA defer the discussion, do you think? Because we were all expecting it today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a million-dollar question, and I mean, I'm not inside the Taoiseach's mind, so I can't answer that one, and all I'll be doing is speculating, and all that causes is more rumours, and I don't think that's fair, to be honest with you. I think there's a firm commitment there. You know, the government is dealing with a myriad of things. I mean, obviously, the exit of the bailout programme is really on the cards for everybody, and I'm sure that was possibly top of the agenda today.
Do you think it'll be held before 2016?
I most definitely believe, and, you know, I hope I'm not proved wrong, and I don't believe will be proved wrong. I believe sometime in spring 2015, according to the process that needs to be involved in to get there.
And there's very strong support from Fine Gael on the issue of civil marriage from many ministers, and they have a very good track record in the area of lesbians and gay men.
Kieran, thank you very much indeed. That's Kieran Rose. Thanks to Niamh Hourigan as well in Limerick. Thanks to Gerry Fahey and to John Lyons. Back with more on the programme tomorrow at 10. Till then, from all the team, good night.